Exchange wise, ATS Singapore returns to the Sands Exhibition Centre on July 3rd. Grab your ticket now to secure your place. You'll hear the latest on curation for marketing, the impact of AI on the industry, and what advertising in a cookieless world now looks like. Join your peers and an outstanding lineup of speakers as we shed light on the challenges and innovations in media marketing and commerce.
The Mad Tech Podcast, news of the week in ad tech and marketing tech, brought to you by ExchangeWire.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Mad Tech Podcast. I'm Amy, I'm an editor at ExchangeWire, and I'm pleased to be joined today by John, our head of content. Welcome, John.
Thanks very much for having me, looking forward to it.
And Lindsay, our COO. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hello.
Excited to be doing another team podcast today. How's everyone?
Good. Very excited.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Good. As prepared as ever.
Oh, likewise. Always.
So let's get into it. So today we'll be discussing news about Disney, tech giants, Microsoft and Apple, and the APAC ad market. So our first story about Disney. With many advertisers requesting lowered rates for upfront market ad deals with TV networks, Disney Plus is reportedly agreeing to reduce CPMs by up to 15%. These lower rate deals are shaking up the scene for competitors who had not intended to lower their rates to such a degree, but now they feel forced to in order to match Disney. So I'll come to you first, Lindsay. Is this a sign of things to come for CTV CPMs?
I do think it probably is. I mean, we know that certainly in the US market, the CTV industry, the streaming wars are talked about a lot. Kind of the market is incredibly competitive, both from the number of platforms that exist. It's very fragmented, yet also quite consolidated. It's a very strange market, but also a very established market. And it stands to reason that as advertisers are really getting to grips with the power and benefits of investing in CTV over maybe linear TV or over maybe sort of cable options, that there's going to be more demand for it. Demand obviously increases costs. So as long as there's greater demand, you know, Disney kind of going out the gate, increasing costs, I'm sure others will follow suit. It lines up with the increase in the cost of streaming subscriptions. I mean, we saw earlier today, I think we published it on the ExchangeWire Digest, that Paramount Plus have just upped their subscription prices by a dollar extra per month. We've seen Netflix do the same thing. We've seen everyone do the same thing. It stands to reason that if you're going to increase your subscription prices, then to get even more revenue, you're going to increase your CPMs for buyers. And I think that the way the market is at the moment, buyers will probably quite happily pay it because it's a really strong audience. And I think Disney will probably reap the benefits from it. They won't see a downturn. I'm sure they won't.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a good point, Lindsay. It will be interesting to see how it affects the membership prices for the streaming platforms as this goes forward. And now over to you, John. Can Disney steal the march on competitors with this move?
I think one of the worries or one of the annoyances for the other platforms will be that they're going to have to match this. I mean, the CTV, the big streaming platforms, went in very high with their launches on their CPMs. You know, Netflix went in at, I think, almost $60 per CPM. And Disney Plus started at 50, and they've had to drop. And prices are converging a little bit. The streamers are kind of all heading in the same direction, trending downwards. I think that will be the annoyance for the other platforms that they will have to, because Disney has a wealth of inventory. We talk an awful lot about Disney's IP and how that's really where Disney Plus separates itself in terms of the market position. And yeah, I think it's a smart move. I feel like a lot of the streaming services, you know, when they did go in high, they felt that they were in a position of strength that perhaps they really weren't, and that the advertisers that they thought that they would attract and that would pay these fairly high CPMs have just thought, actually, no, the results haven't been that spectacular. I know Netflix stood down pretty quickly from their initial price point. They've dropped at least $12 now per CPM. I think that it's, you know, hugely attractive still, but advertisers had a price point and they weren't quite willing to go for it. So no surprise to see them coming down. And also, yeah, Disney, you know, it's a smart move to go first to try and get the dollars and the ad spend rolling in.
You wonder as well, like you say, it's a smart move to go first. It's like, yes, it is, but also, is it? Because you imagine like all their competitors will be going, whoa, what have you done that for? Like, people are not going to bite on that. But again, like, you know, there's often the talk of second mover advantage and actually kind of watching what the first person does first, seeing how the market reacts to it, either positively or negatively, and then kind of following suit or doing something different, you know, could work in their favor. So you wonder if they've gone first, who will go next and what will they do?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they're in a quite a strong position at the moment. It's definitely going to make the competition more fierce between all of the streaming giants.
Definitely.
I think when companies like Netflix launched, you know, the ad-supported tiers, and with Disney Plus joining as well, they didn't quite realize how fragmented the industry was going to get and how many different streaming services were going to all of a sudden pop up and expect consumers in particular to be paying as much as a cable streaming package or more for several different streaming services. And advertisers now also have that choice. So yeah, as much as it's a fair point for the second mover and second mover advantage, I think it's more just an interesting case that Disney are the ones going first in order to try and steal a march on the rest of the market, because it's so fragmented and there's so many options now.
Yeah, it's hugely fragmented. We'll have to see how it all pans out. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think with, like Lindsay mentioned, you know, we touched on Paramount raising their prices for consumers, but also with the knock-on effects potentially being of people choosing the ad-supported tiers. So it's all kind of, yeah, it's all heading in the ad-supported direction. I saw some debate the other day whether Netflix were going to be heading in the fast direction soon enough, which has been put out there and which is really interesting. But yeah, a fascinating space.
Speaking of, I saw my first ever Amazon Prime ad the other day. I don't watch much Amazon Prime, which is why it's my first time seeing one. And I'd forgotten about it. I'd completely forgotten that it was kind of ad-funded. And I saw this ad and I was like, what the hell's going on? What's this appearing on the screen? Have I pressed a button wrong or something? Then I realised what it was. And obviously I saw more of them. And I think that I've, on this podcast a lot, really, really moaned about some of the ad-supported models and some of the streaming platforms out there. Some of them are truly horrendous. And it'll take the big dogs to get it right. And it, like the Netflixes, Disneys, etc. of the world, that will actually get it right and not, you know, completely share the same repetitive ad 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times in a row. So hopefully we'll see, you're right, John, we're going down the ad-supported route and we'll see more of it coming. I'm definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's move on to our next story. So the European Commission has informed Apple that it's in breach of the Digital Markets Act and has also informed Microsoft that the bundling of Teams and Office breaches the EU's antitrust rules. So I'll come to you first this time, John. Should big tech be trembling?
Yeah, it's really good to see that this legislation is baring its teeth. I know this is something that we've talked about loads on podcasts over the last year, which is whether it's just saber-rattling, whether it's just trying to, you know, scare the companies rather than actually act. But no, it seems that they're pretty serious. And it's really interesting to see, you know, Apple and Microsoft be the first two to really fall foul of it and actually receive warnings around their conduct. And, you know, Marguerite Vestager has said that the bundling of Teams with Office could potentially be illegal under competition rules now. So I don't think big tech ever trembles exactly, but I think this will be the first time where the regulation is really going to make them consider practices and work out what they can do. I did an interesting podcast special with Alan Chappell, who's in media law in the States. We'll be publishing that soon. And he gave a really, really good in-depth take on what's going on over there and in Europe, and how, you know, he wonders as well about how the regulation will actually impact the companies and their practices. But no, it's really interesting to see the news both on Apple and Microsoft this week.
Yeah, I think things are definitely changing. It will be interesting to see how it all develops. Lindsay, what do you think?
I was reminded of an article that I read, must have been last year, that I had to dig out again because I couldn't remember the details and I've forgotten them all again now. So we'll see where this conversation goes. But it was in Harvard Business Review and it's basically the famous antitrust law that took place against Microsoft like 20 years ago, against the top kind of five things. It wasn't tech as we know it and as we talk about it in terms of anti-competitive and antitrust laws against things like search engines and ad servers and whatever else that's going on across the world at the moment. It was kind of more the software side of things. But they basically, Harvard Business Review kind of looked at the impact that the outcome of the antitrust ruling had on the market in which markets in which Microsoft operated afterwards. And they were surprised to see that while tech innovation grew, which they tracked as number of patents that were logged by other companies after Microsoft was ruled to break all these things apart, the actual amount of competitiveness and product commercialization retracted, which they thought was really interesting because, you know, you'd expect the fact that Microsoft had been classed as being anti-competitive will take that barrier away, will allow all these other companies to come in and start being able to produce new products and to commercialize these products and to actually grow the market. And the market didn't really grow. And I think that that's really interesting because it does show that taking the power away from big tech is only kind of one piece of the puzzle. There needs to also then be the opportunities levied out by governments, by industries themselves, to allow other competitors to be able to come in after the fact and actually take full advantage of the kind of the more open market that exists. And the reason I say that, obviously Apple and Microsoft are both being done at the moment for two very different things, not that different, but they are both antitrust things. We also, you know, the rumor mill is heavy that something's going to happen to Google very, very soon. And we're seeing like big tech actually put an effort in trying to appease regulators. Like when regulators are coming after them, like Microsoft is an example of this with Activision takeover. Microsoft offered up its own kind of like compromises without the regulators having to actually suggest them, to kind of say, if we take Activision over, we will do this, this, and this. For example, we will not remove Call of Duty from other platforms. We'll allow other platforms to still have Call of Duty as a great example. Like we're not going to completely remove it and only have it available on Xbox. And, you know, the rumors abound that Google are going to go to the regulators and say, listen, we will break up. We will divest of this before the DOJ, whoever, get the chance to actually break them up themselves. But I think that whatever opportunity, I'm rambling about two different tangents here, whatever opportunity exists, it'll be very, very interesting to see how it all plays out and see that if, you know, big tech is ruled as anti-competitive and certain companies are forced to break up, what that then actually does for the rest of the industry and how we start to see competition flourish. Because in ad tech in particular, there's so much opportunity. There's so many independent tech companies that you know, theoretically should be able to really, really have so many more opportunities if the likes of Google get broken up. It's going to be fascinating to see kind of how they are able to take full advantage of that and if the market does everything it can to allow them to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. It would be interesting to see because there's so much innovation in this sector. And yeah, like obviously the tech giants are taking up, you know, so much space in the area and they're just kind of taking it all for themselves. So yeah, hopefully we can see more space for the smaller companies to grow and flourish really.
Yeah, like as Lindsay said, that's the next step. It's not just the reprimanding and the creating space for the big tech. It's actually the encouragement of people to come and fill the space and make use of what's then available to them. But yeah, I mean, Microsoft have reacted fairly calmly to the situation and said that, you know, they've already taken steps in unbundling Teams from Office and they appreciate the clarity provided by the ruling. So all smiles. Yeah, very happy to crack on and appease the regulators, which is also interesting. It's not, you know, a particularly fiery response, which I think we saw initially to the Activision ruling. They were pretty unhappy that they weren't going to be allowed and then they did appease and then they went through it. But no, it's, yeah, really interesting. Nice to see the regulation being enforced and people really trying to get behind it.
I think it's a lesson in terms of it depends how experienced you are as a company with being rained down upon by antitrust legislators. And maybe Microsoft's a bit out of practice. And so they weren't schmoozing the legislators as much as they should have done. Whereas Google and like Meta by now are like, yeah, okay, come on then. And they're calling up their mates in the antitrust office going, okay, right, what we've got to do and I'll go and do it. Whereas Microsoft are like, what? Who do I need to speak to? This is ridiculous. And I think that maybe now they're learning the game a bit because it does feel like a game. It really does feel like a cat and mouse game half the time. And it's over such a long period of time. it takes, you know, years and years, anything to actually come to fruition, that it is always fascinating to see how these things play out. And, you know, there's always a question around, is it just easier for the big tech companies just to pay out and just kind of go, whatever, that is such a small margin of my overall revenue, does it really matter? And it's like, even if they're found to be to not be kind of anti-competitive, just the fact that it's been raised in the first place should have an impact on a company's reputation. I'd argue in our industry, it's not maybe doing the job it should do, but it's taken years. I think we're slowly getting there.
Yeah. So Lindsay, do you think they will just end up buying their way out of this?
I mean, I think that they, in the sense of getting fined, yes, I think they will. But I think that I do feel like there is more appeasement going on. You know, as John was saying, there's more appeasement going on between companies and legislators than there was before. And I think that in the beginning, I feel like companies are like, it's fine, we'll just pay it off. But now I think that it's being levied at them more and more. And, you know, under the EU ruling, the European Commission ruling, it's like if it's against the DMA, it's like 10% of your annual turnover, or if it's a repeat infringement, it's 20%. So if you keep like making mistakes and keep, you know, getting behind the wheel of the car when you're half cut, you know, it's going to come and bite you. And I think that they are starting to hopefully realize that.
Yeah, some quite serious monetary consequences there, like if they keep re-offending.
I do really like the idea of Google just having a drawer of like antitrust tickets, like people have parking tickets, just like, oh, another one on the pile. Yep, we'll sort that out later. I'll come to
it
that
does
next
kind
week.
Of feel like that, doesn't it? It really does. Another unpaid day, gas bill. Oh, Jesus.
I'll just put it in the drawer that we don't talk about.
Red stamp final notice. Oh, yeah. I'll get to that tomorrow. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good to see, though, that there's more regulation and that they're kind of, yeah, they are making some efforts to actually, you know, change their practices. So
yeah, exactly. And of course, it has to be on a global scale. There's so many people, there's so many different countries and regions coming after these companies now. Whatever they have to do in one country, they had to try and replicate it across the world as well, which just makes it more complicated for them. And I feel like it's the jobs of these legislators to make their lives more difficult, and they're doing a good job of that at the moment, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think let's move on to our last story. So our third story for today is about the APAC ad market, and it's expected to see growth of 8.5% this year to reach the equivalent of £223 billion. So similar to the recent forecast for Europe, digital pure players are expected to lead the growth, with their ad revenues forecasted to rise 11.1%. So what's driving growth in APAC? John, I'll go to you first.
This is really timely news and really great to see. And it's great for the region as well that we're seeing this growth and that the opportunities are being realized. We've got ATS Singapore coming up next week, where we'll be talking a lot more about this. But yeah, I'm just really, yeah, it's delighted to see. I think we're hearing a lot about the rise of out of home in APAC, which is really interesting, and we'll be covering over there. Television budgets are stabilizing, which is really interesting. It's a region that's very mobile first as well, so that's been really driving stuff. But yes, very encouraging and really good to see.
And what do you think, Lindsay?
I think to echo John's points, it's really exciting to see a lens on the region as being a positive growth story, and seeing some really, really good stuff coming out of it. And kind of what John was referring to about out of home was a stat he told me the other day from a chat he was having with somebody over there, ahead of ATS Singapore next week, which was, what was it, John? Like across the globally, like out of home represents something like 5% of total ad spend, but in APAC it's 15%. Did I make that
14? Yeah, 14%. No, that's
which
stats,
is incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And I think that if you've ever been to the region, kind of, you know, if you've ever been to Southeast Asia, for example, you really see the impact of out of home, and you really see kind of how important it is. And we have some such good, interesting conversations about out of home in the region, more so than we really experience in other regions, in terms of how important it is to the market, and how impactful and how engaged people are with out of home in those countries versus maybe in Europe. It's always fascinating to hear that and see that. But I think more generally, it's Southeast Asia in particular, you know, it's not an easy place to do business. It's, you know, CPMs are continuously quite low. It makes it an expensive place to do business, expensive place to kind of really kind of build margins. But it is, you know, we talk about the rising middle class. That middle class has now risen, and it's experienced such huge population growth and such huge GDP growth over the past kind of few years that it's now such an exciting place if you work in advertising to do business and to experience. I think that to really kind of see the fruits of the labor and see the amount of ad spend increase by that amount and continue to grow is really exciting and really fascinating. And I know it's just going to be a huge boost to everyone in the industry, and looking forward to kind of hearing kind of the conversations that come out of ATS Singapore that surround that, because it just shows it's going to be really, really positive. And there's no cause for much negativity, because there's so much opportunity and so much positive that's coming out of the region at the moment.
Yeah, it's exciting to see the growth in the region, definitely. And as you both mentioned, ATS Singapore, our event coming up next week. Yeah, let's touch on that a bit more. So, yeah, John, would you like to talk a bit more about the hot topics for the event?
Yeah, I mean, we've got so much going on, and we're really, really excited to be heading back over. And yeah, like I say, it was lovely that this timely story came out a week before, so we could touch on it in our weekly news podcast. But yeah, we'll have Lee Terry, CEO from IPG Media Brands, will be speaking. We've got panels on out of home. We've got panels on for publishers. We are looking at audio. We're looking at curation. There's so much interesting stuff going on, and it's really good to get the APAC side of it and to see news like this, which is, you know, the growth in the region. And digital accounting for 81% of ad spend as well is you know, it's really great, really healthy for the region, and we are, as always, delighted to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting next week.
Said with my absolute best promotional hat. tickets are still available.
Lindsay, is there anything else you'd like to add about ATS Singapore?
I think that I'm just really excited to be able to get everyone together in a space and be able to hear all the different things that are going on. I mean, obviously, you know, we're not based out in the region, so it's always so exciting for us to be able to go over there and really kind of hear all the stories of what's happening. And it's never short of really interesting things happening and really innovative things happening. And I think that it's a region that often feels like it has to operate under the lens of what's happening in the US often, because there's a lot of global market, like global companies that operate, you know, there, and they have global hubs. But there's so much interesting stuff happening independently in that region that probably doesn't get talked about in the rest of the world, and it really should do. And some of the innovation coming out there, especially, you know, when it comes to things like technology, because as John mentioned, the region is mobile first predominantly. It means that some of the innovations had to come out of tech companies to cater to that market. The mobile first market makes it so interesting. And you have so many different aspects of things that we don't really, we're getting there in this region in North America, but it's so much more advanced in APAC. And one thing I'm thinking of straight away, social commerce and live commerce, is always a huge topic of conversation at ATS Singapore. It's so interesting to just kind of see how they're embracing it and how they are combining that with the likes of retail media as well to really embrace the format, to really embrace the mobile first environment, and to hear how brands, both retail brands and non-endemic brands, are really embracing social and live commerce. And it's something that you come away from that as somebody not based in the region, you kind of go, oh, it'd be so amazing to see how that could work in the UK or in North America. And it's getting there. I mean, obviously the impending TikTok ruling could completely put the kibosh on any of that, but it's such a fascinating area to kind of hear all the different things that are going on. And I think that anyone who's not been to the area to experience it from a kind of a media perspective really should, because you do learn and understand a lot more about how it operates as a region.
Yeah, we'll be covering a lot of exciting things next week, so we'll see you there if you have a ticket. And I think that's a great note to end it on. So thanks both for joining me, John, Lindsay. Thanks for your time.
Thank you
very much.
And thanks to all our listeners. That was today's Mad Tech podcast.